Thanks, Dr. Baldwin. All right, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about some work that I did this summer in Amarillo, Texas, looking at summer chlorosis on Kentucky bluegrass. So if you're not familiar with summer chlorosis, you can see from the picture, basically Kentucky bluegrass starts to turn pretty yellow early in the summer, and then as the summer progresses, it tends to get more and more yellow. It's a problem on Kentucky bluegrass, but there's also been some reports of this on creeping bentgrass as well, on putting green situations, where we get this bright yellow discoloration. So Dr. Ryan Goss has done a little bit of work with this disorder as far as trying to figure out what maybe prevents it or gets rid of it. It's very problematic in Albuquerque. As well as there were some reports from Nebraska, the Extension turf folks there wrote some reports about yellowing as well as the problems that we're seeing in Amarillo. So as you kind of watch the pictures on the right, just kind of see how the disorder kind of progresses throughout the summer. You're going to see it get much more widespread, much more yellow as the summer progresses. So the initial symptoms are going to tend to be more sporadic yellowing. Just kind of spots here and there. They do tend to be showing up on the youngest leaves more prevalently. As the summer progresses, again, it becomes more widespread. Temperatures warm up. Things get a little bit drier. The disorder, the yellowing, gets a little bit more problematic. As far as research goes, not a lot of things have been done to figure out what the cause of the yellowing is. There don't seem to be any pests associated with the yellowing, no diseases, no insects, no apparent abiotic factors are really standing out to be prevalent in areas where we do see the yellowing. There's been a lot of discussion or thought about it being a nutrient deficiency or toxicity, especially iron, based on some of the previous research that's been discussed, not really in literature, but just available. At least some anecdotal reports. When you talk to the superintendents in Amarillo, Texas, those superintendents are talking about the use of urea fertilizers, especially granular urea sources, whether it be sulfur-coated or just straight urea, and that really causing this yellowing to be a lot more pronounced. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was maybe see if the fertilizer source and the rate, again, could help alleviate some of those problems. We were contacted by a new fertilizer company called Anuvia Plant Nutrients. They're a new company based out of Florida, and they wanted us to do some research with their product on turf grass just to see how effective it might be. And I thought, why not just do a normal fertilizer trial, but let's also try to see maybe if it could help prevent some of this yellowing. It's a pretty unique product in the fact that it's organic-based, but it also has a pretty high nitrogen content of 16%. It also has a little bit of potassium, some sulfur, which for us is pretty good because we have more basic soils. We thought that might help bring some of the pH down just a little bit. It also has a little bit of iron and, again, a pretty high organic percentage as well in the product. So the objectives were really, first of all, just to evaluate the product for its performance as a fertilizer. But more importantly today, I'm going to talk about the second objective, which was to see whether or not this fertilizer source or the various rates of it could help prevent or limit some of this yellowing that we tend to see later on in the summer months on the Kentucky bluegrass. So here's a list of the treatments that we did. There was 1 pound of fertilizer applied prior to us starting the study, so probably towards the end of February to the first part of March. 1 pound or 49 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were applied. At that time, to all the rough areas, this was conducted in the rough because that's where we tend to see this yellowing more pronounced. And then we had urea-only treatment, and then we had some various proportions of the organic slow-release product mixed with urea. The purpose for that was just to get that kind of quick burst of growth that we didn't want to put out the fertilizer and not see an effect for a long time. So we had some different ratios, 50-50, 25-75, and then we did have some treatments as well that just had the slow-release product. We had basically three different application rates. We applied 1 pound initially. That was on March 31st. We applied 2 pounds initially on March 31st, And then we did some 49 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, followed by another application about 6 weeks later. So those were our different treatments that we were looking at, and we wanted to again see basically if we could reduce the yellowing percentage. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about the methods that we used. We're basically going to talk about the yellowing. So it was a visual rating of the plot area that was experiencing or at least exhibiting the yellowing characteristics that were common for this Kentucky bluegrass. So when we look at some of the results, when we looked at the yellowing, there were not a lot of statistical differences. We basically started this trial March 31st. I rated it every 2 weeks from March 31st all the way to the first week of September. And so we had a decent amount of rating dates, but there were only three where there was a significant difference in the amount of yellowing between our treatments. One of the good things, I guess, you could take from this basically from this table is that our control plots and our urea-only treatments, they were the ones that experienced or had significantly higher yellowing compared to those that were follow-up treatments. So we did two applications of 49 kilograms per hectare. Those treatments tended to at least have reduced amounts of yellowing overall in the plot area. But there was a lot of variability among the different blocks, and that really minimized the potential to really see differences. There were observationally a lot of very clear differences. One occasion where the superintendent and I were able to easily and clearly pick out the urea, all four of the urea treatments, without having the plot plan or anything, just based on the yellowing. So just to give you a little bit of visual evidence, so the picture on the left is a urea-only plot, and that's on July the 7th. And then next to that, there's a 50-50 that just got 49 kilograms per hectare. I can kind of see the amount of yellowing, maybe a little bit poor quality based on the picture. But if you look to the far right, those are some of our follow-up treatments. And those are the treatments that contain the highest percentage of the organic product, and they tended to have much greener color and much less yellowing, which, again, is maybe a visual observation that we may be coming onto something here potentially for the future. So if we look at all the data, basically take all the rating dates that we had, and you look at the means and the standard deviations from every single time that we went up there, one of the clear things you can see here is that we start to see a decrease in the percent of yellowing within the plots and the different treatments as we increase the amount of organic fertilizer that's in the mixture. So it's even, you know, relatively clear here when you just look at the, even within the rates, as we get more of the organic fertilizer, we tend to see a little bit less yellowing, and that's kind of pronounced throughout. Also the standard deviations, when you look at all those things, you know, the follow-up treatment with all organic matter content, we had a very low standard deviation compared to the other treatments, which means it may have been a little bit more consistent. Again, here you can see that as we increase the organic fertilizer component within the treatment, we tended to see a little bit less yellowing, even though there again were not a lot of statistical differences among our treatments. And I can pretty clearly see that on the screen, as far as we basically just used a shaker to put out all of our fertilizer within the plot area. So, of course, we're kind of trying to not get fertilizer into the next treatment. And you can clearly see a yellow line between those two treatments that got, you know, a high percentage of organic matter with that follow-up application. So, again, there may be something to this fertilizer source when it comes to at least looking at why or how much yellow is present in the plot area. One of the things that, again, we consistently see as far as the reports is that the iron content, if we go and apply iron to these places where we see yellowing, it tends to improve. So the thought is that we're probably deficient on iron. And whenever we also collected some tissue material and had that analyzed at a local lab, at A&L Labs. And when we looked at the data, I mean, the control treatments tended to have the highest amount of iron on every one of these rating dates, and they were the ones that had the most yellow. So I saw some other reports when I was preparing the information that, you know, stated that sometimes these Measurements can be a little bit off based on different types of iron that may be on the plant material, but it's kind of hard to imagine that all of these are you know, off in that much every single time. So in addition to that, we also did some soil work. I did this with one of our soil microbiologists at Texas Tech. And so she did, I collected all the samples, brought them back to the lab from the golf course, and she did a lot of the work as far as looking at nitrogen content. So she had nitrate content and ammonium content. So we kind of combined those numbers to just get a total inorganic nitrogen content overall. And again, with our control here at the top, the pointer come up here, we had the lowest nitrogen content overall, especially in June. With our control, as you move down the urea, we had applied that treatment about 2 weeks, about a month prior to the to actually collecting the soil samples, and so we had a much higher nitrogen content there. And then you can see as the urea content within the treatment was increased, then we had a little bit more nitrogen available to the plants, or at least that was picked up in that soil sample as you kind of move down through the different treatments. One of the more interesting things that we were kind of looking for, and there's been a lot of talks over this week about looking at some of the microbial contents with various fertilizers or different inputs that we may apply to our turf grasses. And so we also wanted to try to just kind of get an idea as to what kind of fungi might have been present. We did do statistical analysis on a number of the parameters from bacteria to fungi and ratios, and there weren't any statistical differences within our treatments, but we wanted to provide some of this data because we do see some numerical things that are going on. For instance, you know, we look at the June sampling here, the control and the urea-only treatments, they had about 330 and 320. That's total fungi, arbuscular mycorrhizae fungi that's within that soil sample or within that treatment. But then as we start to increase the organic fertilizer components there, we tend to see a slight numerical increase in the fungi that are present. So, you know, it's possible that these fungi could be beneficial in, you know, providing better nutrition and also maybe reducing some of the yellow components that we see. So in conclusion, there are definitely a lot of unanswered questions with regards to the yellowing, what's causing it, and how we might go about recovering this. But we did tend to see, you know, again, observationally, maybe not always statistically, higher urea content, we were seeing more of the yellowing. You know, why is this? Maybe it's because of the slow release factor of that organic fertilizer. Maybe it's the fact that it's an organic-based fertilizer and it's causing a little bit of a shift in the population from a microbial standpoint. Could be the iron content. You know, we are applying a little bit of iron with that application. But again, that's, you know, applied in March and May, and you're seeing the effects all the way to through September and so on and so forth. So the sulfur content, as far as acidifying, that's a possibility, but we did see, look at the pH, and there was no significant difference in pH when we looked at the soil samples. So, you know, it wasn't causing at least a long-term impact on the soil pH for sure. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys may have about this situation. Yeah, Charles. Right, yeah, so the question was whether or not we saw any differences in growth rates, and we did collect clippings as part of this, do dry weights, and again, very similar to a lot of the other stuff. Not a lot of statistical differences to prove anything otherwise. On the healthier ones, of course, we were getting a lot of growth just because of the fertilizer, but one thing that I just kind of, again, observationally realized, and I think I also saw some images from whether it was Ryan or someone else, you know, you get kind of this elongated growth with the yellowing. So I don't know if you get enough of that, if you still are going to pick up enough material that's going to, you know, make the weights kind of level out overall. Yes?
What were your watering regimes? How wet were the conditions for this turf?
It's a good question. I mean, this was done at a golf course, and so the golf course superintendent basically maintained things the way that he that he was going to do that. And I'm not really sure as far as if that was a percentage or number of ET return. Yeah.
Years ago, we saw this in Ohio a lot. It always seemed to be in summer conditions, high growth rate, high temperatures, lots of water. Urea made it yellower.
Okay.
Iron, we tried that. That didn't really help.
Okay.
Similar to your
yeah, it could be that could be very possible for sure.
And we'll move it to the next speaker. But we'll have time after all the presentations. So thank you.
All right.